Proverbs chapter 20. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for the Word of God we're about to read. And Lord, as with every time the Word of God is open, Satan begins his battle with distractions. He begins his battle with the weariness of the flesh. He begins his battle with just prevailing thoughts in the mind that try to take people's thoughts away from the Scriptures and the Word of God. And Lord, we don't take anything for granted. We rest in the power of the Word of God tonight. And Lord, these precious people have given time that they could have given for themselves and did anything that they wanted to do, but they chose to come to your house. So, Father, for their sake and for thy name's sake, Father, would you rebuke Satan and would you keep him totally at bay? And would you place everyone in a position so that, Father, these next few moments, they can clearly and completely hear from thee. Overtake this preacher and help me to be more than I am through the power of Christ so that I can help your people to be more than they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Verse 25. We're just going to look at one verse and just build some meat around it. A verse that, let's just read it. I have to explain what it is, and we'll see. In Proverbs 20, and verse number 25, the Word of God says this: "It is a snare to the man who devours that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry." And God explains it's a very simple but powerful verse. And you know, I wrote a note in my Bible: everything in life is a gift from God. We need to be careful that we do not devour it for our own purposes without considering the reason that God entrusted it to us. And this is one of those verses. I have a list of about five things that we devour that are holy from God. But I want you to meditate on the verse. And during the week, maybe you think of some other things. And what we might do next week, I'd like to hear from you some other holy things that maybe you recognize that that is easy to devour that later ensnare you. The word devour simply means to eat up. You probably know it, but you know me, I like definitions. It means to eat ravishingly. That means to eat quickly, fiercely, ferociously, like a beast of prey. And devour also means to destroy. It means consume quickly and with violence, you know. Kind of like, I'm always amazed when I go to the United States and go to a buffet. I see a lot of devouring going on. You know, I see the heaviest people I've ever seen in my life at the buffets in the United States. And there's not too many buffets here. Maybe there are. And praise God, there's not, I guess. But every time I've ever stopped one, I'm like, wow, man. And amazing that happened and devouring that takes place. But four things tonight, very simply. And again, I encourage you to meditate on the verse throughout the week because God, the life of Christ is meant to be a life of freedom. Not a life ensnared, and so many things ensnare us and trap us. And first, number one, is our food. I won't spend much time here because I've preached on fasting and different things about food. But you might write this verse down. Well, actually, we can turn it right by Proverbs 23, verse 21. The Bible says, "The drunkard," didn't say these, it's four, "the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." And familiar verse I shared with you before, Ezekiel 16, verse 49, that the iniquity of Sodom was pride and fullness of bread. This is one of those verses, Ezekiel 16, 49, that the Lord keeps bringing back to me. You know, whenever I'm struggling spiritually, first thing I think about is how's my eating? How am I viewing food? Has food become my comfort? Has food become my strength? Has food become anything? Because what destroyed Sodom, according to what God said, was pride and fullness of bread. So I'm always trying to be conscious of that and thinking about that. And second thing that we devour, because another reason we devour, we just don't really take into being, it really came from God. You know, even from the health note, if you devour food, it later ensnares you. Because when you devour food without properly chewing up, it destroys the lining of your throat, the esophagus. It also breaks down your stomach. And so later, a lot of what they call, I think they were saying, I was reading one article on the internet that said that acid reflux is it all-time high levels just because of the way people devour their food. And so it snares you later with some health problems when you devour your food. And I remember one of the things, I think I said it before, one thing that really first impacted me when I met Brother Wheeler, how slow he ate. And because he's a man that really spends a lot of time in fasting and prayer. And after you fast, you don't generally devour food. Because if you devour food after you fast for a period of time, it will certainly ensnare you. It will hurt you. Just put it like that. And through that, you learn to appreciate things in your body. One of the things, when you don't devour your food, your body gets more nutrients by chewing it up. And your body actually knows it's got the food that it needs. When you devour and just throw it down quickly, your body can't even recognize, or it can't, it takes so long to break it down, and so it can't get the nutrients out, so you think you're still full. That's what's easier at a buffet, just to take a few bites and but you chew slowly, you won't even eat near as many plates of food, you know. But anyway, we devour that, and it will stare us, and it will later destroy you, especially you devour it. Number two is our faith. You know, and this one is something that I really feel like that we really do devour. Because when you devour something, that means you just eat it, you don't really enjoy it. Getting back to food, I know people that they can have a meal and they can eat something, they'll tell you that, okay, this has turmeric, this is garlic, this has allspice, just name whatever, cumin. By the way they savor it, they can tell you a variety of almost every ingredient that's in the meal because of how they've savored it instead of devouring it. And in our life, sometimes, because when you devour something, you just eat it up basically for your own consumption, for your own pleasure to enjoy it. I'll be honest with you, there's certain foods that I like to eat them fast, because the bigger the bite, it's something about you, the pleasure sensations are greater when you chew it less. I'm just telling the truth, but it's not good for you to do that, and I try not to do that now, but I recognize that the pleasure decreases in certain meals the longer you take to actually chew it so it can actually digest properly. And what we'll find is, but our faith is different. If we actually take time and not just consume our faith for our own advantage, but to really go through it and meditate and savor on it, it'll actually strengthen us and encourage us. And later we won't, you know, it's a shame, and I'm speaking for myself, it's a shame for me to have something so complete as this and really ever really struggle with anything. Because I've got the diagnosis, I've got absolutely everything that I need right here, and if I just slow my life down long enough and not devour it, I won't be snared. My faith will always be what I need to be. It'll strengthen me and encourage me, and better than that, I'll be able to help anybody that I need to help because I'll have the faith to do it. And we need to not devour this. We need not take it for granted that, wait, this really caused something. I was talking to a lady in Micah's Taekwondo class the other night, and she's some years older than me, and grew up in Ohio, and for some reason she was talking about just some of the different racial atrocities and how she was trying to explain to her son that how he just needs to be thankful that the freedom that he had just didn't come cheap, you know. And I'm not for keeping alive a lot of that stuff, but I think we do need to have some appreciation, because sometimes if people are careful, they foster racism instead of actually fostering thankfulness. You know, I'm for fostering thankfulness, but not for fostering racism, you know, because I think the only thing that we need to distinguish ourselves by is the Lord Jesus Christ personally. But if we're not careful, you know, but I was listening to what she was saying, and because most important, since our freedom didn't come easily, that we ought to appreciate it and use it for something that's worth something. Now, let's take that as a Christian. The liberty you have through Christ, did that come cheap? All right, so we shouldn't. The faith that you're able to exercise right now, did that come cheap? So and that's greater than anything. The blood of Christ purchased our freedom and purchased our lives so we could actually exercise and live faith. And so we need to not just devour that and consume that, let it be consumed with his life and all these different things, and try to use it just for us instead of thinking about God, what is this faith actually for? You know, is our faith for more than just good earthly opportunities, or is it for something eternal, something that really lasts and makes a difference? But it snares us if we have this whole book here and just devour it and just consume it without allowing it to consume us. That's what meditation does, and that's what spending time in the Scripture do. Hold your place here. We see a verse here, a challenge in 1 Timothy chapter 4 from the Word of God regarding our faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul speaking to his son in the faith, Timothy here, encouraging him. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 14, the Word of God says this, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Then he says, take heed unto thyself. It means pay attention to yourself. And unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So if you don't neglect the gift, everybody in this room has gifts from God. And you'll either, the sad thing is, I was talking to that lady, and she was telling me how she came to Canada. She's from Canada. I came to Canada for music, and she pursued a worldly career. And you know what she said? She said, I learned my gifts in the Baptist church. And it really broke my heart, you know, because I thought about how, you know, so she learned to sing and had all these gifts that she learned in church and used them just to make a living and make a name for herself. And she's quite proud of it, you know, and I would be too when I was proud of different things and still battle with it now. So, Lord, you know what I mean. So, the things that gifts that God gave me that were for myself, and I neglected, and she was neglecting to realize that even that ability came from God. And I have to be careful. The things that I do sometimes myself, if I neglect the gift that is in me, with specific in Timothy, this was given by the presbytery, by his faithfulness, by him being ordained by a church. This liberty that I have to preach the gospel, this freedom that I have to be a pastor, I can't take that lightly. This is not something that I didn't just go figure this out. This was a gift to God by me. I need not consume that. And if I don't neglect that, and if I meditate upon these things and give myself wholly to them, see, and just like again, when we don't devour something, it's a way of giving ourselves wholly to them. With the food, again, when you chew it completely, you get all of it. You get all the benefits from it. And our faith, when we meditate and give ourselves to it, then it says that profiting, the way that our faith shows everybody, it appears, is by meditating and giving ourselves wholly to it. Because, you know, we have a lot of self-convinced people about the power of their faith, but it's not convincing anybody else, and myself included, too many times. But he said, look at verse 15, if you meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, then thy profiting, then the faith, the profiting of the faith, everybody will see it. It says, appear unto all. Then he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So we need to be careful that we don't just devour our faith, and because it's a holy thing to have faith. Anybody glad to have faith tonight? Amen. Anybody remember that what it's like not to have faith? And just to try to battle and try to do it out and work it out and be like the little engine that could? I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Hoping it's going to work out. Instead of saying, you know what? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, having that rock to depend upon. Another thing we devour just wholly because it comes from God is our finances. Our finances. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we see a little verse here that reminds us that everything we have comes from God. God only knows different things that in different times of my life, money came and went because I didn't take time to make inquiry. Because see, that's why you devour it. It snared him and devoured that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. You know, I wonder what that was for. You know, I wonder what that gift was for. Many people can look back on their life and they can see all these gifts, their talents, their treasures. I wonder what that was for. You know, and when that happened. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." So God gives you the power to get wealth. And so when we get wealth, we don't need to devour it. It's not for our own consumption. Anytime we have any wealth, we need to make inquiry. Say, "Lord, what did you give this to me for?" And because if not, it'll snare you later. Because that's what the Bible says. It is a snare to the man who devours that which is holy. And after vows to make inquiry. So our finances. And then I put our frame. And because the Bible says that He knoweth our frame, that we are but dust, referring to our bodies. You know, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Notice the Bible says, and actually, I should say regarding finances, we know we can say that. What? Because how do you get snared with your finances? Well, your debt problems. There's at times that I've devoured my finances, not got into debt, but then somebody had a need, and I thought, "Oh man, I could have did something about that, but I just blew that on that over there that I didn't need, didn't really have to have." And I thought, "Man, I could have helped them, but I just devoured that." Never time to wait. I thought, "Hey, man, this is for me." 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, it says, "For your labors together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, so you're God's project, you're His building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Then he said, "Let no man deceive himself." So don't be deceived that you will not be destroyed if you defile the temple or the body. And, you know, when you defile your frame, your body, it does snare you later. You can have, earthly speaking, there'll be health problems, different things of that nature, or just limitations spiritually to hinder you from doing what God would have you to do. And he cautions and warns you that we're God's building. We're to build properly. And it says we are God's husbandry. We're God's building. We need to take time to, you know, what is this temple really for? Hey, really, you know, I say it often, you know, just the people ask young people all the time, what are you going to do with your life? Instead of asking, what does God want you to do with your life? Because, you know, if you spend your life, like I said, I'll be 45 this year, I look back in the past 20 years of salvation, and I ask myself, how much of my years did I devour? That I just allowed to be consumed, that I just took and quickly went through without really saying, "But what is this for? What is this for? What is this for?" You know, because God has so many glorious, wondrous things for us, and we'll just take our frame and use it for Him. We'll be amazed at how we won't. You know, everybody has this mindset. Well, I won't say everybody. The majority, the prevailing mindset in the world is that they're trapped and trying to escape something. That's because they're snared. And many of us are snared just by our way of thinking, our mindset. And a lot of it is because of just not taking proper time to make inquiry about all the holy things that God has given us. And then because when those holy things are used properly, You know why when you read the Bible, when you really read it, it's so exciting? Because I want you to think about the Bible characters that are faithful in there. They all are free. All of them have lives without limitations. Lives that they came to a situation. All of them had experience where it couldn't be done, and it got done. All of them had, they shouldn't be happy, they were happy. They should be discouraged, they were not discouraged. Paul said we're troubled on every side. they're not discouraged. No, they had these lives that you look at them, you think, wow, how could you do that? We when you read about the Apostle Paul, most people don't really on a regular basis think about the fact that he was in jail, that he was beaten several times, and almost beaten so bad that he was almost killed several times. We missed that because we just think, wow, look at Paul. Look what he did. I think about that beast bit him, and I thought, man, he must have been some sinner. You know, and God caught up to him. He shook that beast off in the fire and it lived, you know. And the wow, what happened to him? Brother Spencer told me about this lady in his church that got bit by a copperhead snake, and they thought she was going to die. And all of a sudden, her leg didn't even swell a little bit. I said, well, she must have the faith of Paul. And copperheads are very poisonous snake, if you don't know. So you generally have to get something done, and nothing happened. And even the doctor, she went to the doctor because she got bit, and they said, well, watch it, and nothing happened. So she was okay. And this life without limitations. But see, what happens is, and food is just a perfect illustration. I'm not trying to beat on food tonight, but if you just go, I think I just know from my own experience, when I devour food, guess what? I end up snared later. I end up, man, I can't walk as fast. I can't walk as far. Hey, it gets to the point it even affects simple things. Hey, you can get so heavy because of devouring food, it even affects simple things like breathing. And you know, you can get so heavy when you devour the holy things of your life, just a simple breath of the Holy Ghost of God seems like a foreign, distant thing. And I tell you, you know, I always say, but my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And the Father wants to speak to you on a regular basis. The voice of God is not to be some casual, irregular occurrence. It's supposed to be a daily occurrence. Hey, the reason we said we pray without ceasing. And so we have continual communication with God, directing us. And if we take time to consult God about this frame, what He wants us to do with it, we'll be amazed at how much more freedom we'll have. And we won't find ourselves snared by different things in life. You know, hey, we see Moses. When he got to the Red Sea, God just said, "Pardon." Hey, here they're going against Jericho. Joshua and his men, there's no way they're going to get down these walls. They don't have the strength. They don't have the power. They don't have cannons. They don't have a way to break the wall. Well, God said, why don't you just walk around it. And he did something that's hard for most of us to do. He told the whole entire army to study to be quiet. Because, you know, they had to walk around the wall 7 days and couldn't say anything until 7 days were up. And see, that's one principle. That's why everything about our life wants us to devour, because devouring is totally the opposite of studying to be quiet. Because when you devour something, you consume it and don't even realize the magnitude of it. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, so we're in Corinthians, look at verse 19 and 20. What know ye not, that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. And the great thing, you know, the people that want their life, they don't like this verse because they want their life. But if you could just really catch the magnitude, you belong to love because God is love. You're not your own. And, you know, I'm stubborn just like everybody else is sometimes. There's many times I want my own way. And you know what happens when I get my own way? I get snared. Because I've devoured that which is holy, and then later make inquiry, was that the right thing to do? You know, should I have done that? And it says, verse 20, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The last thing that we devour, you'll find in Galatians chapter 5, is our friends. We devour our friends. In Galatians chapter 5, and Under friends, you could put a lot of people because you're supposed to be friendly with everybody. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13, it says this, For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, Galatians 5:13. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So he speaks here, not using your liberty for the flesh, by love serve one another. That means don't use one another. Don't use your liberty to take advantage of people. Don't use your liberty to consume people just for you. Hey, serve one another. Serve one another. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. At the church, we continually help people. We want to. That's what we're here for. And if you need help, you came to the right place. And there's going to come a time where you are going to seem like you're being, that you're just getting. But God is doing that so you can one day give. Just like the cross, when Christ gave us everything so we could give back to people, you know. And we have to be careful that, and just little, everything of life, you know, is about us giving to other people, you know. One thing my wife, we always talk about with children, you know, many people, with the news trend, a lot of people watch a lot of children publicly, and they take their little, whatever things they are, I don't know, car seat thing, not car seats, but high chairs, and they just put a bunch of food on it, and they just let the little kids eat like basically like an animal because they don't want to be interrupted while they're doing whatever they're doing while they're eating, you know. Instead of taking time to actually feed the child or teach the child to feed himself, because things are interruption of what they really want to do. And I know they don't really mean that. That's not really their intention. They really treat them like an animal or anything like that. But we have to be careful that when we have someone that God has called us to care for, that we just don't try to just throw them something to handle them just to get rid of them. We have to be patient. And we are given to be consumed. But we should try not to be the ones to do the consuming. But there will come times, hey, when I first went to Grace Bible Baptist Church, I needed everything that Pastor Norwood had to give me. And there was a time where I was consuming his time, I was consuming his energy, I was consuming absolutely everything about him. And thank God I did. Because to everything is a time. But now, through that, God has taught me how to be the one to be consumed so I can put somebody in a situation like God put me to go help somebody else. And when we have friends and family members and church members, let's not consume one another. Let's make sure that we come to be a blessing to each other. And we don't have any biters here. And I don't think we have any devourers here either. But it's all part of the scriptures, so we have to be admonished to that. And so whenever you have do those things, you have to be careful that you don't fall in that situation. Because God does not want you to be snared. You know, it's a powerless feeling when you're snared. I think of I go back to finances for myself. I think of just when the monstrous debt that Susan and I had when we got married. It's crippling. Many things we just never could do that we wanted to do. And a lot of it we didn't need to do anyway. But I think more now as a child of God, I want to make sure that I'm not limited from doing what God wants me to do. And that doesn't mean you have to have money in the bank, because God has allowed me to go places and do things with no money and be a help and encouragement. And I'm glad to do that. But I have to be careful that I don't devour those things. And regarding my faith, this word of God we have is a precious privilege. We don't need to just devour it, consume it. Hey, I got just what I wanted. I'm done, you know. And we need to take heed and say, Lord, I've got this whole Bible here. What is this really for? I was sitting there studying my Bible today, and the email went off on my phone. My head just kind of turned. I didn't look at it, and I thought to myself, you know, of course it can wait because I'm studying my Bible. But I thought, how many people that are children of God, that really have a relationship with God, will not miss a day with those type of communications, and then won't feel compelled regarding the Word of God and just skip it. They can take it or leave it. And it's because we just devour it. And, you know, and one thing we take it for granted, we think it's always just going to be there. You know, I thank God for my wife and the many meals she's cooked for us through the years. And it reminds, I thank God for my mother, because I think of all the different meals she cooked for me during the years. I remember a time when I lived away from home. There's so much time I thought, man, I wish I could just go home and get a meal from Mama. And because she was faithful to do those things. And I think of all the different meals I devoured, probably in her presence. And I don't really know. I don't think I ever, until I left the home. And I think that our children do this now. But I don't think until I ever left the home. I don't think I ever thanked my mother for any meal she ever cooked. I may have, don't remember, but I don't remember ever really just having an attitude of gratitude. So, well, Mom, thank you for that. When I left and came back, I did. But you just want to be careful. God, it's just a simple admonition, a simple challenge, because I hope in this room, I really believe in this room and in this church, we have something very unique and very special that a lot of people don't have. And I just don't want any of us. And God really spoke just to me. So, and like I said, everything I preach is for me as much as anybody else. Let's not devour it. Let's not just consume it without really stopping and make inquiry. Then what is this really for? You know, this life that you have, make inquiry right now. God, what is this life, this time that you have? You know, I'm scared to think back over the past 20 years of salvation, how much time that I know had actually this really wood, hay, and stubble. Because I didn't make inquiry enough to say, Lord, how should I spend it? How should I do this? But the good news is, if you have devoured anything, if you repent and ask God forgiveness, the slate is clean with God. He didn't want you to be hung up on that. He just wants you to mark it from this day and go forward. Isn't that great about God? You know, because He forgives you, and He removes your sin as far as the east from the west, and you're clean in His sight. And so there's nothing you don't hold on to those things. If anything, you just use the motivation to make sure I'm going to value it now. But you're honestly, really, that's not even the best motivation. The best motivation is because God said to do it. Because you'll lose, if your motivation to do right thing is past failures, you're still looking at an improper motive. Your motivation to be everything God wants you to be is because you look in His face and you see Him. And you think, wow, that's where I'm headed. You should do right with your food? Because God gave it to you. Because everything comes from God. Hey, that faith, it didn't come cheap. I'm not going to value that. You know, we handle things a little differently that cost something, don't we? You know, it's a little different if you have a shirt like this that's paid $5 for at Walmart on clearance aisle than it is if you go downtown to where's Harry Rosen and pay $150 or something. $150. I went there one day. I wanted to get Samuel something special for his birthday. He likes looking at Sorhair Rose. And I went there. I looked at those shirts. I thought, where's the sale ones? and the cheap one I found was $120. I thought, well, I love Samuel, but he can't have Harry Rosen. And he understands. He's been in that store too, you know. And so he's working hard in school, so maybe one day he'll be an executive so he can get stuff there. But I guarantee you, if I had a Harry Rosen shirt, I'd handle it a lot differently than this $5 one from Walmart. You know, because I'd be thinking, wow, that's worth something. And we really caught the value of our faith. That it didn't, you know, my children, once they start working, and they start realizing, start thinking about, first they start with the paper route, and they realize, okay, how many papers it takes to make this amount of money to buy this? Some things that were junk, they stopped buying. Because they realize, whoa, I have to do that many papers to get that thing that I bought that just broke in 3 days, you know? Or my daughter, okay, these children are a little bit hard to deal with, and it costs me this many hours it takes to deal with this one, to buy this. Because it costs them something, and so it changes the way they handle some of their resources. And if we really think about, man, you know what? This, everything about this, I thank God the holy men of God spake as they moved by the Holy Ghost. But you know what? This is the words of God. And the very fact that we have this, it came because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His blood and sacrifice. And there's a lot. Mark's got an excellent DVD. He talked about how different sacrifices and people that went through just so we can have the Word of God we have right now. And we need to really think about what this really costs. And not just devour it. And, you know, and I wrote down some things here. You can think of how we're snared. We're snared by sin. Snared by guilt. Because when you do right with something, you don't have to be guilty about it. And by the way, guilt is from Satan. But you know what? If you're doing right, Satan can't even threaten you with guilt. Because there's nothing to be guilty of. You know, and regret. And again, like I said, if you repent and go forward, God didn't want you to deal with regret. Because He forgave you. So you can't, you just let that go. Fear. You know, because, you know, when you're not handling something right, you're fearful. Like, you know, I wonder, you know, do this and that, you know. Loss of freedom. Loss of health or limited health. That's a different thing to snare us when we don't handle the holy things that God has given to us properly. So just some simple thoughts to encourage you to realize. Number one, there are a lot of, everybody in this room has many wondrous gifts from God. And take time to ask God what you should do with it. The time you have, the job you have, the health you have, the family you have, the finances you have, everything about you, your faith, your friends, even your enemies. You go further, that everything is wholly given to you by God. And don't devour it. Make inquiry right now. But you know, it takes some time. You have to slow down. You know what? And you know, in our lives, you know, I think about many times, and even when I'm trying to eat slow, it seems like there's something pulling me to go get somewhere else. You know, I don't have time to eat. So I think I don't have time to eat slow. I want to do this, do that, and maybe God just trying to tell me to make a smaller plate then. And you know, that's the truth for many in this room. Many things that you're devouring right now. You've got too many things on your plate that don't need to be on your plate. That are crowding out some of the holy things, and you just need to, you know what? If I just took more time with this that is holy, you might become consumed with the holy things. And you realize that these other things just aren't really of that much value after all. And nobody likes being snared. I always look and I have times in my life where I feel like I'm trapped and I feel like and I can always trace back to look that I have question marks. I have question marks about decisions made. Question marks about how I handle a situation. Hey, even with you, if you're a parent, when you raise your children, if you move slow enough to make inquiry all the time with God about how you handle every situation, when they're trouble, and they will be because their parents aren't perfect, they're sinners, it's in the blood, then you won't be snared by guilt or wondering. You'll just have to wait on God and believe, okay, this is a test. I can walk my way through this. It'll give you strength to do that. In marriage, if you make inquiry about how you handle your marriage all throughout the marriage, then when those trials come, God will strengthen you. You'll rest. Because you'll know it's just a time God is using to strengthen the marriage. And everything we do, finances, when you have a financial challenge, you won't be wondering, oh man, did I blow that? Did I do that? No, I know I made inquiry. I trusted God all the way with all these decisions that I had. And so this is just something, I just happen to be right now at the Red Sea. So God needs to part it for me. And all that inquiry keeps you from being in a situation. Because when you're snared, that's a feeling of hopelessness. Because you're trapped, you know. We used to make snares when I was a kid to catch birds. We make the box type snare. You let them crawl and put some bird seed or whatever, popcorn, and they crawl in a box. You tell them to snare the bird, and they're trapped. And they think, man, I wish I asked myself, why is that sitting there under that box? That's what Bird was thinking. Why? I should have thought about it a little bit greater, more detail. And there being a decision in our life that if we make inquiry, we won't get to that place. And we'll know. There's times when I'm making inquiry about everything I'm doing, I say, Lord, I've been faithful. Lord, I invite you to purge me. I want you to know, reveal to me if I've handled something wrong. But Lord, at this point, for this particular time, miracle of miracles, I've handled this part right. So, I'm free. Hey, if you're right with your, if you're a good steward of your body, and you're taking care of your body as a temple of the Holy Spirit, you're not using it for things that are ungodly, then guess what? If you have a physical challenge, a health challenge, you say, hey, well, this is something God's doing. Hey, God's going to do a miracle. Or He's going to allow me to go through something to show His glory, you know? I was listening to testimony of Curtis Hudson, and when he died of cancer, and he knew, he asked God when he got cancer that this would be the greatest time he ever lived. And Clarence Sexton asked him right before he died, and he said, you know what, it really has been the greatest time that I've ever lived. The people he helped, the thing that he did, and he could look back over that time of the inquiry and not be fearful, not be afraid, because he had made inquiry and he wasn't snared by that. And with our faith, you know what Paul said, I finished my course. I kept the faith because he made inquiry about what he was doing with his faith. The faith that you have, let me ask you a question tonight. Have you asked God recently what you should be doing with it? Or just taking for granted it's just something that's always there? The food you have you asked God recently what you should be doing with your food and how you should be handling it? Your finances, have you asked God recently, Lord, made inquiry, what should you be doing with it? Your frame, the friends you have, why are they in your life? Well, if you're a Christian, they're there that they might receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. But have you asked God? And if you don't, I guarantee you, you'll find the reality of the Word of God is true. You'll be snared by one of them or all of them. Because, and God doesn't want that to happen. God has great, again, God has great plans, and He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. I bask in the glory of the marvelous hand of God, how He has something to meet every need of absolutely every situation. And so, second time, meditate on the verse this week and ask God to reveal to you if there are any holy things in your life that you are devouring, that you're not really using for His glory, and let Him lead you, let Him strengthen you. Father, God, we thank You for just the privilege.